It's entertaining. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile. Sometimes controversial, but it'll always have you coming back for more. No, it's not Trump Wales IPA. It's everyone's favourite talking shop, home of the Fox's most poorly informed pundits. Welcome to the Foss Arms, and welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And damn it, for the moment, it's still the home of a Premier League club. To discuss that and what the future holds for us tonight in the world famous Foss Arms is myself, Tim. We have Killer, good evening.
Good evening, Tim.
And we have Norm, good evening.
Hi, Tim.
Well, guys, hope you're all right. It's been a bit of a funny weekend, really, wasn't it? I'm intrigued to see what you guys think about it, because we all forecast defeats. Sure enough, the defeat turned up. I don't think anything's ever been quite so certain. But it wasn't a disastrous weekend, in my view, for the club. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what you two think. But first of all, Killer, let's chat about the performance.
Well, it was really pretty much went along the lines of what I said would be a good outcome for Leicester City. I don't think there was any doubt, especially when De Bruyne started and Erling Haaland, that we were going to lose the football match. I mean, that was almost a given. And obviously, when a team like Manchester City come out playing at a pace like they did, there isn't a team in the world that can stop them. And if you want evidence about that, they absolutely demolished Bayern Munich in the Champions League just a few days earlier. So no one can play against them when they're in that mood. They're in the mood. They're all over us. Blink of an eye, you're 3-0 down. And let's be honest, at that stage, we all probably, as Leicester fans, feared the worst, because you start thinking to yourself, wow, the last thing this club needs right now is an absolute spanking. 6-7, I don't know, was 8 on the horizon. At that stage, it was kind of like any number was in play. But, and go back to what I said, and this isn't me saying I got it right, this is me saying actually what I believe was a good outcome for the football club. Having not conceded any more goals, having then actually had a fair share of play, and I thought second half giving a pretty good account of ourselves, and then you go and pop yourself a goal in, and you think to yourself, okay, the score looks a lot more reasonable now. But then it started getting interesting, didn't it? Because we started then carving out some chances. You know, and I thought to myself after the game, what an interesting finale it would have been if either Maddison was clearly the obvious one with that one-on-one. Dennis Pratt was a very tame effort, but that was a chance. Kelechi, obviously, we know he's got no right foot at all, but when he's pulled it back onto his right foot, he had a shooting opportunity. Any one of those goes in, and that would have been a really interesting last portion of the game, given the fact that Pep had obviously made several substitutions. We were on the front foot. We were playing well at that stage. It would have been a really, really interesting end of the game. But, Tim, having said that, we lost the football match. I believe that we emerged with some credit. I believe we emerged in good shape. I thought Dean Smith picked an excellent team. And, I mean, the worrying thing is, isn't it, is just how quickly it took him to realise that Samari and Amati weren't good enough, that Soyuncu should have played, that actually a back three was a good option. As far as I'm concerned, there was lots of positives. The only negative, and I'm looking back at the third goal, I don't know about you boys, I was absolutely furious. A real weak challenge by Wilf Ndidi, yeah, really to top off what I think is a pretty horrific period for him. He is just getting worse and worse and worse. Just how long can we say he's worth his place above Mendy, who, again, I don't know what you boys thought. I thought when Mendy came on, he was threading the play around excellently. Surely has to be worth a go against Wolves. So to cap it all up, to summarise, Tim, 3-1. We were 14-1 before the game. You probably got that biggest in some markets. We weren't ever going to win it, but we emerged with credit. And like you, Tim, I feel optimistic now as we go into the Wolves game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. My only question mark, which I'm going to throw to you, Norm, on the team selection is, was Ndidi ahead of Mendy? Because I think form wouldn't have got Ndidi into that team. But I can understand why a new manager would look at the basic tools he's working with. And I think, as we, I think Killer said, actually, many moons ago on this on this podcast. Indeed, he's bigger, and he's got a track record of being a really excellent Premier League player at the time when Dean Smith was managing in the Premier League. So he's probably got that in his mind coming into the club and thinking, better can re-energise Wilf. He didn't do. The penalty norm I thought was unfortunate.
Yeah,
I thought the way that Kevin De Bruyne blew on him and wafted him out the way for that other goal was an absolute disgrace, and I don't think that will have gone unnoticed by Dean Smith. So that would have been my quibble with selection, because I would have started Vardy. Kelechi obviously then did very well, but other than that, I kind of agree with Keller. I think there was some encouraging signs from the manager's selection, first of all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, on the Ndidi thing, I mean, there wasn't a challenge. I think he bottled it. I mean, I don't think there was an attempt to get the ball. I think suddenly he thought, oh, I'm just going to pull out of that. And at the time, I was cross with him. I think with regards to the handball, I think that is a little bit unfortunate. But you know, it is a penalty. But yeah, with regards to the team selection, I think that I would certainly be starting Mendy over Ndidi. And when you were just chatting there about it, I was thinking, what team would I start on Saturday? And I would have Mendy in for Ndidi. And whilst I think it's probably correct that we started Vardy up top against Man City, I think that needs to stop now. I think Vardy does not start for me on Saturday by any stretch of the imagination. He's not had a. You might be aware of this. He hasn't had a shot on target for 532 minutes, and he is a shadow, sadly, of the player he was. He brings something to the team. I am not being negative on Vardy, but I don't think he's the answer for us right now. I don't think we can wait for him to play himself back into form. I think that someone like Kelechi up front will give us more options. So with regards to the team, yeah, I was pretty satisfied with how we set up. It'll be interesting what team or what formation he plays against a lesser team. No disrespect, Wolves. I think everyone in the world's lesser than Man City. It'll be interesting whether he still plays five at the back or whether he switches things around. But I think the big positives for me, like you alluded to, are the dropping of Amati and Samari, the fact that Soyuncu gets an opportunity, and that he made brave substitutions. He wasn't afraid at half time to take Vardy off. You know, I think things like that all augur well moving forward.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You've been critical of five at the back in the past, Noam. Are you sort of thinking it's a new broom sweeping clean, or are you just getting giddy with the Martin not being in the team?
I think anything that keeps him out of the team. It's not that I necessarily dislike five at the back. I just think in general we have played better without that formation. But clearly, this season it hasn't worked, and I'm not going to argue with a new guy coming in and trying to do something different, because the attitude and everything need to change. And I think we got that change against Man City. You know, that is why I feel like, just to jump on Killer's bandwagon, I think that we did get a response. You know, we didn't capitulate. I know they made lots of changes, but at least we still were in the game. We did create chances. You know, you can see that Madison's a class above everyone else. And as long as he can remain fit and is playing for the cause, then fair enough. Hopefully the time that Tielemans got, would, you know, he didn't look match fit. Obviously he isn't match fit. But at least that's got a few minutes into his legs in a game that was a dead rubber for us. You know, the likelihood of us getting anything out of the game was negligible. So to play that team, to get the response, to bring players in that have been missing, and be brave enough to drop players that have constantly started, I think was really, really positive, and it gives us hope. and that's we all know that's what kills us, but it does give us hope moving forward.
What about you, Killer, on those, on the 2 points Norm's been talking about? So the formation change was probably the biggest one, but then, you know, we're probably ducking ahead a little bit, but what do you, where do you think in terms of the Kelechi v Vardy thing? I assume Daka's not in that equation at the moment.
No, Daka's not. excuse me. I'm on exactly the same page as Norm. Exactly the same page. I always thought Vardy was the one to turn to with the track record. He was somebody that I think you needed to give him time. You needed to give him games to get him to see whether or not as a 36-year-old that he could get some life and he could get some form. And it just hasn't happened. And it's a very sad thing to say, because the guy ultimately, when he hangs his boots up, will be the greatest player who has ever played for Leicester City. There's no doubt about that. But we also knew this day would come, didn't we? We also knew that the likelihood is that he would have been under contract, that sooner or later, as a 36-year-old, there's a reason why there aren't too many of them knocking around, still banging goals in, because it's the hardest thing in the game to do. And it just looks like, for all the world, he stopped doing it. So absolutely with Norm on that one with regards to drop him. Interesting point about back three, back two. What's always worried me, really, when he bought Suter in, and when he was playing Wout Faes, the worry, of course, is between those two, and especially when he was interspersing that with Daniel Amati, is number one, and I didn't think the quality was particularly good when Amati played, but when he didn't play, when it was just Suter and Faes, the worry was there was no Premier League experience there at all, was there? And there still isn't, to some extent. You know, Suter's still new to it, and so is Wout Faes. I mean, these are guys that are still finding their feet. So to some extent, to bring some Premier League experience with Soyuncu, I just wonder whether or not, if I was Faes or Suter, I'd quite like now being in a three. I'd feel like there's a bit more experience, there's a bit more know-how, a bit more pedigree, and that therefore might lift my game. So, yeah, I think there's obviously a discussion about what you do against Wolves. They're not a free-scoring team by any means, but let's not forget, you know, sometimes with five at the back can just give you that some really solid base. It doesn't really make any difference who you're playing against. If you've got two full-backs that can push up the pitch, that can do some damage, five at the back can still work against anybody if the rest of it all clicks into place.
I think the other positive, and I read this in one of the forums, and I actually felt it was a reasonably good point. Whilst I'm no big fan of Luke Thomas, as we've discussed many times before, you know, he's the other one, along with Samari and Amati, we're suggesting probably shouldn't be near the first team ever again. But given the fullback situation with Pereira and Ricardo injured again, inevitably he is going to get some game time. And I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable with the security of having three at the back.
Yeah.
So he is a better, you know, I suppose he's a bit like a poor man's Alexander Arnold. You know, he's probably is a little bit better coming forward, and therefore not getting caught out, and like, because he's got that support behind him, maybe gave him a bit more confidence, and sort of felt he improved and grew into the game a bit as well when he came on. So yeah, that could be another benefit of playing that system, given what we have at fullbacks at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to me to see which system he plays against Wolves, because you could definitely, I think a lot of Premier League teams could make an argument for putting out a team, especially to play away at Man City, because that is the toughest game in the division. But I'm going to be, as you two have both been talking about, the personnel play a role in it. You know, five at the back doesn't have to be a more defensive formation if we do choose to play that at home. But I think the question for me is, you know, when you had JJ in his prime and Pereira and Castagne, he hasn't done it as much this season, all those three bombing on, if those three are going to bomb on, they're effectively operating like midfielders. That's a very different five to playing five, you know, five, like, defenders
three, right across the back. Yeah, it's like three at the back, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly, and I'll take your point on Luke Thomas, because, you know, there's an argument of, well, are you protecting slightly weaker players by playing five? But it depends how you view that five. But I mean, because the injury of the question marks we've got are Harvey Barnes, So I think it was, if there's doubt around him, then I think it was very sensible that he didn't play against Man City full stop. And plus, you know, he may not have been the right sort of player to play against them. But I think ordinarily, I'm sure Dean Smith would want to play him against Wolves. As I understand it, he's 50-50. So it'll be interesting to see how that we would accommodate him, because I mean, coming on to talk a bit more about other goings on, that game is a must win. It's not a draw, is it, Killer? Yeah. I mean, we've got to win that game.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be a more aggressive formation, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. The good thing about it is we can forget talking about 40 points, and we can forget talking about how many wins we've got to have. If ever there is a season where you just simply focus on finishing fourth bottom, that's it. Doesn't make any difference if it's by goal difference or not. And the thing is, even though we've got 1 point in about the last 400 games, the fact remains, amazingly, we're in touch.
Yeah.
and that is the key, isn't it? You can stick your 40-point argument in the bin. Nobody cares now. You can now see exactly the breakaway clubs. Wolves are going to be okay. Palace are going to be okay, etc., etc. You're probably down now to four or five. We could do with Leeds losing this evening. Four or five, and then all you've just got to finish is fourth bottom. And I'm not bothered about anything else right here, right now. Fourth bottom. And if it's fourth bottom with 34 points, as unlikely as that sounds, but are possible, then that's what we're going to have to do. But you just get the feeling, Tim, that it has to start with a win on Saturday. I think if we lose on Saturday, this horrific run, which will now just be, you know, you're talking about 10 games now, won't it be 10 games, one point?
It's just unthinkable,
I mean,
isn't it?
It is unthinkable. And again, I know I said it last week, but I still scratch my head and think, how on earth did we only pick up 1 point after the Spurs game, where I can't remember a more comprehensive win in the history of Leicester City? Seriously, I mean, we've had some great wins. I can't remember absolutely spanking a Champions League, a team that effectively was fourth in the league last year, outplayed them. When we're walking away there, I remember Norm and I with Trumpel's IPA in our hands, dreaming of Europe.
We were talking about Europe quite embarrassingly late into this season, in hindsight, weren't we? But you're right. I mean, you know, it felt like that double game week against Villa and whoever else it was, Bournemouth, was the week that was going to define the season. But I thought we'd lose this weekend, but I was intrigued because it looked like a nightmare weekend with lots of the teams around us playing winnable games, but even worse than that, playing them at home. But I mean, Everton to lose that game was, I didn't think they'd lose that. That was an amazing bonus. Southampton lost and they're pretty much done. It was disappointing to see Wolves win, but they might start to think they're safe now ahead of the weekend. We've seen Fulham switch off now fully on the beach. We've seen Brentford, who are suddenly in free fall on the beach as well. So if Wolves feel they're safe, that could really help us. West Ham didn't get 3 points. Forest then lost, and who knows what Leeds are going to do. So yeah, you sort of come out of the weekend, don't you, and you think, hold on a minute, we've just played Man City. We've got well beaten. But as you say, Killer, we are still in touch. This could be a freaky season where, incredibly, even 33 points could be enough. Because, I mean, I spoke to a mate of mine today who's an Everton fan, and I've not seen him for a few weeks. And I just ran down the car window, saw him on the side of the street, and he shouted two words at me. He said, "We're down." So he'd been up there at the weekend. And I had a very quick conversation. I was going past him, crawling past him in the car. But I was saying, look, you know, everyone at the bottom thinks they're down, mate. Everyone thinks they're down. Yeah. But it's encouraging to hear that Everton, I bet you anything, Leeds fans, they've only got 30 points. If they lose tonight, Norm, they'll be feeling they're down as well.
Well, I'm sure they will be feeling like that. I think a lot of teams are panicking, and rightly so, given how tight it is at the bottom and how vitally important various games are that are coming up. But the good news is, the supercomputer does have us safe on 34 points.
What's that? An octopus or something that's doing some predictions?
No, not something that's as reliable as an octopus choosing different coloured fish to eat to predict a game. No, unfortunately not. But, you know, look, we've got to glean as much positivity out of everything we possibly can do. It's a supercomputer that one of the news channels do and run that basically has predicted that Man City will win the league from Arsenal by a point and has a safe fourth bottom on 34 points, basically getting 9 further points, which I presume are probably from the 3 home games that we have that we deem to be winnable. Including the Leeds game, and they have Everton down just to cement your mate's point on 33 points. Southampton, Forest, and Everton are relegated, according to the supercomputer. So all is well as a Leicester fan. So the season can end there. Job done.
Nothing to worry about. We've got the winnable games, haven't we? It's whether, you know, the thing for me leaving Man City as the free hit was that he's in the middle of 2 weeks of creating a brand new culture at Leicester City. I have to say, I didn't think the performance was a slam dunk amazing. They're running their hearts out for the club. I mean, we've already talked about Ndidi pulling out of a 50-50 challenge. You know, we were 1 down after 5 minutes, 2 down after 10, and 3 after 20. I was like doing the maths thinking, blimey, every time the minutes double, they score. It was looking horrific. So it was a decent performance, wasn't it? But I think at the same time, you know, I'm not sure we've seen yet that Dean Smith is definitely going to turn this round for us.
No. I tell you what I do like, though. I do like the fact, aren't you? You always got the feeling with Leicester City that it was the Brendan Rodgers show. And what worried you about that is if he started to make silly, stubborn decisions, we were in trouble. And guess what he started to do? And you just got the feeling that with Brendan Rodgers, he would sit at home with a glass of wine, he'd write the team down, he'd walk in and turn around to his coaching staff and go, here's the team that I'm picking for the weekend. And they wouldn't get any say in it at all. And I just don't think in the modern day game, that's the way to do it. What I do like about the setup at Leicester is you get the feeling that Dean Smith would have a 34% share in it. But I also get the feeling that Terry and Shakespeare are going to be well in on it. So I just think that just gives you the opportunity. As a manager, if you're proposing something a bit stupid, you've got 2 other guys to turn around and go, no, that's not going to work. Let me explain why that's not going to work. And actually, therefore, I think you've got a far better chance. It's starting to feel that Leicester City dressing room have actually become far more toxic than maybe we ever thought it had become. And I just think with that Brendan Rodgers stubbornness, playing the wrong players, getting on everybody's nerves, playing the tippy-tappy football, I just get the feeling now we will probably all Rodgers out at some given point. I get the feeling that actually that point may have been much earlier. But having said that, Leicester City do have a good team. And I get the feeling that as soon as you get a toxic manager out of a dressing room, I think it will literally drain within days. I just get a feeling, Tim, I might be wrong, I just get the feeling we've got the chance to be quietly optimistic here. If Norm says fourth bottom, we all know that's practically gospel anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference about that. I just get the feeling, if you're an Everton fan at the minute, you're playing Demarai Gray up front, their squad's not good enough. I watched Forest yesterday against Manchester United. Didn't lay a glove on them, in truth. You know, they puffed and panted. They've got this horrible squad and everybody's about the same. You know, I just thought it just said it all on 89 minutes when Jesse Lingard came on. It's like, oh, God, you're paying 100 grand a week. You're 2-0 down and you're bringing him on an 89. What, you know, what's the point? Southampton, yeah, they had to win at the weekend. They didn't. They're going to go. So you get the feeling it's 3 from 4, maybe Leeds. And of those three, right here, right now, I think if you were neutral, you'd probably look at it and go, I think it's Leicester to stay up.
So I think I agree with you, Killer, in terms of the 3 from 5, if you include Leeds. But the one I'm going to keep in there for the moment is West Ham, because I do think they've got this European thing going on. They have only got 31 points. You know, let's be honest, if we're banging trouble, we've got 25 points. If we beat Wolves and they lose at the weekend, we're in 3 points of them with by then presumably better goal difference. So I don't think you can rule West Ham out of it. They've not really shown any form, really, throughout the whole season. They've obviously still got a decent eye on Europe. I'm sure they'll go through in that European game. So would you not maybe throw them in too? That if you go back to last week, I seem to remember, I think from memory, I think it was Leeds and West Ham who I, on some very unscientific approach, yeah, I thought had the most difficult fixtures.
I think if you look at the last two games, West Ham obviously beating Fulham was a big result. They went 2-0 down against Arsenal, and I was watching the game, and make no mistake about it, the London Stadium was ready to turn on David Moyes, and the reality of it is they just came out fighting. I think they've got too much quality. Having said that, I didn't realise they spent 170 million quid in the summer, and of the players they brought in, they're only actually starting one of them. Mm. It's an astonishing... There's really has been some horrific business done in the summer. I mean, Richarlison, 50 million, still hasn't scored in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? There's been some... We talk about the business we've done at Leicester and not being necessarily particularly happy over the years. The reality of it is, I just think this market is just incredibly difficult to buy good quality players. I think West Ham are going to be okay, genuinely, but that's not a foregone conclusion, Tim. And I'm not saying that in a matter of fact that they will be okay way. I just think that they will just have too much. At the end of the day, you know, Jared Bowen, Declan Rice, I just look across Ben Rama in the midfield. I just think they will be okay. I think it's any three from five, and take your pick.
Yeah, no, they should have the players. I do just no. You can come in. I'll just zip through their fixtures. They've got Bournemouth away, Liverpool at home, Palace away, which isn't going to be easy. Man City away, Man United at home. Then they go away to Brentford. They might feel they can win that now. Leeds at home, and us, and they've still got Tottenham away, which is, by the way, for West Ham fans, that's their main derby.
You seen Forest run into him?
I did have it last week. I can't remember what it is.
Absolutely horrible. Horrible. But anyway, Norm, what were you going to say?
I was just going to, on the West Ham thing, I think a lot of people would look at us much like West Ham. I know we're like not adrift, but obviously we're second bottom. So the points tally we've got, obviously, it, you know, no one's going to say, oh, they should definitely get out of it. But teams like West Ham and Everton and Leeds would look at our team and think that they really shouldn't be down there. So they would be quite fearful that they know that we would be capable of putting in a good run. And I think that's how you're kind of looking at, you know, how Killer's looking at West Ham. You're looking at it, Tim, and the fact that they're still in, you know, they're still not safe. And I'm kind of sitting on the fence between you both, really, because I don't think they'll go down, but they are certainly still in it. And if they lose their next match, like you say, and we win, then it all gets very close. The bottom of the table at the moment is such that win one or lose one, it can make such an enormous difference. I think the fact we've got Wolves on Saturday and they are easing clear, whilst they're not 100% safe, if we were sat on 34 points, we'd
say they got 34. No,
yeah, they're not 100% safe, but you know, you think, you know, they only need to win one more in the last seven or eight games, so they will think they're safe. So it's not going to be a bad time to play Wolves. Obviously, it is a complete must win. I mean, just back on the West Ham thing, maybe Killer was very knowledgeably talking about how many of their new signings that were actually still playing. Maybe if we weren't playing players that we had signed earlier, you know, if we had just decided not to play some of the players that Mr. Rogers had signed, then maybe we wouldn't be in the position we are now. So perhaps the fact that the new manager is not playing players that we wouldn't play is again a real positive for us.
Forest running, by the way, is Liverpool away, Brighton at home. Brighton, by the way, same team that absolutely destroyed Chelsea the other day. Brentford away, Southampton at home, Chelsea away, and then Arsenal at home. I mean, you could look at that and think to yourself,
Palace away to finish, Killer.
Palace away to finish. They could quite genuinely, given the fact they've got an awful away record, they could end up with 3 points on that, like, couldn't they?
Mm. It's interesting. Yeah. And by the way, just for the record, I have a vague feeling they're going to sack Cooper. that I do think, I think they're going down. So I don't, this owner doesn't strike me as a particularly patient sort of fella.
I don't think they will, actually. Did you see the reception he got yesterday? It's absolutely outstanding. I'm going to say this with hands slightly muted over
just don't say what you're going to say. Point saying what you're about to say,
but do you know what, in an era in football where fans just love turning on managers, and you know, West Ham fans couldn't wait to start having a good old-fashioned boo against Arsenal. In fact, they're almost disappointed when they pulled a goal back. But all I would say is, in this day and age, there was a little bit of appreciation there from those fans to what he had done last season when he took over. It is a bit of a hiding to nothing. I think they will hang on to him.
Listeners, now, Killer's views are his own and do not represent the views of the Leicester City Pubcast.
And I know that, given that this obviously is, we record this, publish it, and therefore people will be listening to this having known the result, but from a positivity point of view, Liverpool have just scored at Leeds.
I was just gonna
so I feel lifted.
Leeds 3, Liverpool 1. What?
if you're listening to this on Friday night, just as a slight sidestep, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Do you not think we're living in a bit of an era this season? I think this is the weakest Premier League I've ever seen. But I thought the World Cup was poor. We talked about, you know, how many great players are there at the moment, and Messi and Ronaldo falling off. But just going back to what you were both saying about clubs signing really poor players like us. I mean, even if you think about the top clubs, you know, Man United, Antony, not very good. I know he had a really good game yesterday. He cost 80 million quid. It's been absolute garbage. Nunes at Liverpool, absolute garbage. He might come good. Doesn't look to me like he's going to be a £70 million player. Gakpo, jury's out. He costs quite a lot of money. Spurs have signed loads of players. Haven't signed anyone good. Arsenal have probably been the shrewdest signers, Norm, haven't they? They're not really done a lot. Who did they brought? Jorginho in January, didn't they? He's not played much, but that was for peanuts.
No, but you know what the difference there, sorry to interrupt just while I got my train of thought on that, is that Arsenal brought in players that were proven Premier League players.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that when you go abroad, you know, you do get some absolute gems. Look at Kante. I mean, fantastic. But you also get some dross, Samari. And, you know, you get some brilliance like Mahrez, but you get some dross, Gazal. You know, it's a gamble. And however good your scouting network is, you never can tell really how good a player is going to be when they get into the English Premier League. You know, having played in the French First Division or in other countries where the pace, the power, the intensity is simply not what it is in England. Well, you know, that's kind of how it is. Just on a completely separate point, what I'm really, really keen to get across, I think, that how important it is that moving forward that we're not playing this, Rodgers, we talked about this tippy-tappy football. It's very noticeable that Bournemouth's rise up the table is because they're playing like in a brave fashion. You know, they're going for it. They're not being scared. They're not getting bullied. They're just trying as hard as they can and making a real effort to make the best use as they possibly can of the ball. And I think this is something that Smith will bring to us versus Rodgers, is I think we'll become a little bit more direct. I don't think we'll spend the entire game passing it around the back when, you know, we need to beat Wolves. You know, we don't want to be starting off having 70% possession, but having not ventured into their half. So I think moving forward, we just need to be really, really brave and go for it. And that will help us as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, I've sort of had my hope renewed because of the other results this weekend. But I think, I have to say, I think this time next week when we're talking, if we've not beaten Wolves, I think for me the belief will have completely gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing was with even with the Bournemouth game. I mean, the Bournemouth game was massively, massively important. But to some extent, what we got is we got Rodgers left. And what we didn't realise is there was two people taking over that knew less about Leicester City than Brendan Rodgers. So to some extent, it was almost like Rodgers was the horrific night out and a huge row with your partner. And then Sadler and Stow was just the awful hangover that you had afterwards. So to some extent, you know, it's going to be a bit like that. Yeah, this is going to be massive on all fronts, really. You're quite right. If we're sitting here this time next week and we've lost to Wolves, and of course the worry is, and we can talk about Wolves are safe, they might have taken their foot off the gas. I just don't think they're going to. I think that's what happens when you've got a good manager. Good managers don't let you take the foot off the gas. He's done a really good job. And he will be looking to finish as high up on the table as they can. So I think for us to beat Wolves next week, we're going to have to be well balanced. We're going to have the right setup, the right 11, and we're going to have to play really, really, really well. And if we don't, and if we lose, like you say, the conversation next week could be of a slightly less optimistic nature.
Yeah, I mean, they have won the last two, to your point, Killer, but that was before they got to 34 points. I suppose, you know, I what I've seen over the years is teams go on the beach. Teams do go on the beach. And the example I'm going to give you is Fulham and Brentford now. At their last 10 Premier League games, they got one win between them. Mm. Now, they're two teams. I know Fulham have lost Mitrovic, but, you know, they're two teams that have had fantastic seasons. But they won't really believe they can get into the European places, I don't think. And they know they're nowhere near the relegation fight. And, you know, I just think there's it's a bit like the, you know, it's a bit like the Ndidi tackle against De Bruyne that didn't happen. If you lose that motivation, I suppose the best example was Leicester City the year after we won the Premier League and we had that massive dip. You know, you climbed the mountain, we're asking you to climb it again. And what, you know, Thomas Frank, top draw manager, but, you know, if one of the senior players turns around and just says, sorry, boss, what is it we're playing for again now?
Yeah, you know, there is that. And I hope you're right, Tim. And of course, this will be the longest ever season that we'll ever have with the World Cup. So, you know, players are going to run out of steam. And you're quite right. I think as a player, you know, if you are already running on fumes, the reality of it is those fumes don't exist if you're safe. So, Tim, I do genuinely hope you're right. I just don't think it's a given by any means. And I just think, therefore, if we win, we will have to go out all guns blazing and win. The only good thing, of course, is I'm pretty certain we're going to revert back to a norm win prediction. Which, let's be honest, has kept most listeners awake all week.
Well, it's a once every 3 years. It's a black swan event, that, isn't it? Mm. It's a once every 3 years.
It was horrible, wasn't it? It was just one of those. It was like your mum telling you she no longer loves you. It's just horrible.
My dad telling me Father Christmas didn't exist. So I was about six.
Oh, no, I found that out last year. Terrible.
Careful of our younger listeners. Don't worry, it won't ever happen again.
Just while we're on terribly dark thoughts, which I've told you last week, I was having a look at the League One table, which I had to slap myself. What are you doing? Slap yourself out of it. But there is a scenario next year, you know, where Forest, Derby could come up, couldn't they, into the Championship. Forest, Derby and Leicester are playing Championship derbies while Coventry are in the Premier League. Yeah. Can you imagine that scenario? Oh, shudder.
Pretty awful. Let me just tell you a quick story about the intelligence of some, not all, not most, some Leicester City fans. The under-21s team was posted on Facebook earlier. And littered in amongst that lot was Vestergaard, Ryan Bertrand, Daniel Amati. And it didn't take long for some, let's just say, less than loyal Leicester City fans to start questioning Dean Smith's team selection. I'm being absolutely serious. Absolutely serious. Yeah, there were some fans saying, what on earth's he doing? Where's Patson Daka? Where's Madison and Clichy? I'm not joking. It's scary, fellas.
Yeah, so let's come on and have a look at the weekend. So as we've already discussed, I think the last weekend was a massive worry because so many of our competitors' teams had very winnable home games. This weekend, we've got almost the opposite. So Saints go to Arsenal. Leeds go to Fulham. Everton go to Palace. That ain't going to be easy. Wolves go to the mighty Leicester City. Forest go to Anfield. Bournemouth have got West Ham at home, so someone's going to come out of something with that. But that is a fantastic set of fixtures for us in principle. And I reckon an on-form Leicester City beats Wolves at home 9 times out of 10 if we can get our proper Leicester City back. So let's come on and talk about team selection a little bit. Norm, you mentioned Luke Thomas earlier. Dennis Pratt got a bit of time.
Yeah.
Anyone else that you think might be? I don't know if you've heard any whispers about Barnes. Last I heard was 50-50.
I think my understanding was that they thought Barnes had quite a good chance of being fit for Saturday. So I think it's probably best that if we assume if he looked at it and he isn't fit, then I think the team almost picks itself with regards to, you know, I think we do replace Ndidi with Mendy, and I do think you replace Iheanacho with replace Vardy with Iheanacho. Now, if Tielemans is fitter, then I think he would warrant starting. But if he doesn't come on too much this week, then perhaps we have to look at starting Dennis Pratt or someone like him in instead of Tielemans. But if Barnes is fit, I think you don't really fit Barnes in massively into a 5-4-1, do we? So, I mean, does he play Barnes up front a little bit and perhaps drop KDH, someone like that? You know, does one of our midfielders, KDH or Tielemans, move out of the team? You know, play Mendy, Maddison and Pratt, for instance, and Barnes and almost Barnes up front as a, I don't know, it's a, I don't know which way he'll go. I think
he doesn't fit into a 3-5-2, does he?
No, sorry, that's what I meant.
You're quite right. We haven't been playing 3-5-2, and that's so that we've not had the conundrum. But I do agree. I think that is the key point, isn't it? If Barnes is fit, it's going, particularly given that he's just played 3-5-2, it's going to be fascinating.
But I think he'll probably. I think at home. I mean, this is the question: did he play the 3-5-2 because of we were away at Man City, or is that how he wants us to play? And Wolves is going to tell us that, isn't it? Because if he goes back to a back four, then obviously Barnes is going to be able to is going to fit into the side, you know, quite nicely. But will he? And that's the question. And I think it's important that we don't risk Barnes if he's not fully fit. So maybe it's a as we were, and then see how, you know, Barnes on after 60 minutes, something like that, depending on how the game's going.
Well, what do you think, Killer? I'm going to disagree with you two on just one point so far. I would give Vardy one more chance. I think we've all flip-flopped a bit amongst the strikers at different points this season, haven't we? Largely together. And I think, you know, there were times when we wanted Iheanacho to play because you just didn't seem to get a goal from anywhere. Then I think we sort of landed on, hold on a minute, you know, he's just not reliable enough. And I still, you know, I mean, I go back to a conversation we had 2 or 3 weeks ago. I just can't see Iheanacho or Daka scoring enough goals to keep us up. I think the one bloke that could still do that is Vardy. I'm going to give Vardy a final pass on the basis that I just still don't think, and we were never going to against Man City, but I just think for the last few games, we're just not creating chances for him. Until he starts missing chance after chance, I still think he's our best bet.
No, disagree with you. I want to agree with you. I disagree with you. What team's he going to pick on Saturday? I'll be perfectly honest, I don't have the faintest idea. All I know is this is what I would do. I'd go with the back five as per Man City. I'd go with Mendy, KDH and Youri Tielemans. I'd go with Maddison sat behind Kelechi Iheanacho. I'd pile the two fullbacks forward and make it absolute their job to bomb forward. I think you need ammunition to come off the bench if you need it, and that would come in the form of Harvey Barnes and Jamie Vardy if we needed it.
So two questions to that then. Why 3-5-2? And then secondly, which fullbacks?
Fullbacks, Christensen and Castagna. because it's funny, we've been talking about those two and we're talking about how effective they've been, but of course we don't know how effective they've been with a back three against somebody that isn't an absolutely top-notch world-class team. I think it's worth a go. I just think with that back three, we've got a really solid base. I just think with Mendy, he's more of a footballer than Ndidi. He's more mobile, so I think you can send him up the pitch a little bit more rather than just have him sat. I still think with Barnes, the problem with Barnes is, generally speaking, when Barnes comes back from anything, even he can have a bit of a cold. He seems to take about two or three games to warm back up. I would just like to see Leicester City playing football, getting those fullbacks forward. But when we've got the ball in the middle of the park between Maddison, Tielemans, KDH, just keeping it. And Mendy as well. Just keep it. Just keep playing football. Keep prodding, poking. I just know, unfortunately, I hate to say it, I just know that if you said to me who's more likely to score at the minute, Clichy and Acho or Jamie Vardy, I don't even think it's a discussion, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think you only have to look at how little Vardy created, really, not just on Sunday, but just previously. And then if you look at Iheanacho, when he scored, there was almost an inevitability of, well, there's his goal. I don't care if it was a tap-in, there's his goal. And he was just making things happen. That's what it's a game of opinions. That's what I'd go for.
Well, I think the answer to who's more likely to score out of Vardy and Iheanacho is James Maddison at the moment. I can't see any of our strikers really lighting things up. But let's see.
He did obviously come on. Score on Sunday.
Yes. That would be. Let's come on to the predictor with Trump Wells IPA. Well, last week we all got the result right, rather sadly, even Norm. So, Norm, at least your movement away from the win prediction paid dividends as you needed it to. So, leaving Norm on 9, Killer and myself on 11. So, Wolves then, Killer, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a nervy 1-0 win.
Oh, I can't stand that. It would be like absolute torture.
It will be, mate.
Oh, God.
See you in the pub afterwards, Norm.
Oh, nightmare.
Go on, Norm. Well, redeem yourself for last week. We've got listeners crying into the Trump Wales after that.
Yeah, sorry, listeners. I'll redeem myself. I've got to be more positive after last week, and I couldn't stand a nervy game, which obviously is going to be. I am going to go for a 3-1 Leicester win.
Yeah, I can't see us keeping a clean sheet either, but I do think we might win this one. So I'm going to go 2-1 Leicester. So the optimism is back in the Foss Arms, folks. That's the good news, guys. Any final thoughts, Norm?
I have actually. By the time after this Wolves game, we play Leeds before any of the other teams in and around us play a game. So my final thought is, in about 8 or 9 days, we could be sat on 31 points and easing any worries of relegation away. So my final thought is one of joy, happiness, optimism, you know, just feelings of wonderfulness. That is how I'm feeling now.
Feelings of wonderfulness, Killer, for results that have not yet happened. How about you?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you can imagine those two results coming. We're back talking about Europe, aren't we? Which would be absolutely wonderful. My final thought is, if you want to know if a football club is going slightly in the wrong direction, just look at the fact that in under-21s game, 3 of the players are multi-millionaires.
Nice one.
And on and note, 50.
That's right. On that note, folks, we will leave you and see you next week. We're all off to remind everyone that a fox is far more wily than a wolf. Catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.